ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day, Matt. Tony Geitz is my name. I'm the CEO of Northern Cotton. I also sit on the board of Cotton Australia and another family farming board for Briggins. So welcome to the site. It's great to have you here. And, it's a big day today.
It's a big day. It's an important week for the Catherine Cotton Gin. Tell us what's happening here.
Yeah, so basically, I guess the start of this week, mate, we really started the commissioning process with the gin. And as you can imagine, there's lots of moving parts within the gin complex itself. And we've had a few little teething problems, electrical problems, and that's a thing. But yeah, we're hoping to get our first bale out later this morning.
Because how long has it been since the gin pushed out a bale?
I'm just trying to think now. I think we finished ginning in October last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's some time, and I guess the off-season is really a process of, you know, doing all of your maintenance and ensuring things are running correctly. But it just seems to be with gins, no matter how well prepared you are, you're there's always a few teething issues.
And day one that yesterday throws up some surprises.
Yes.
So can you remind our audience again about the process? Big cotton modules come in on the trucks, and then tell us about the process they go through to become cotton bales.
Yeah, sure. So in module form, we call it seed cotton because the seed is actually still within the cotton bowl. So the ginning process is really a process that separates the seed from the lint and removes the trash from the seed cotton as well. So it's really a three-stage process. There's a lot of cleaning that goes on within the ginning process to ensure that lint quality is as high as it possibly can be, and we're preserving our reputation of a very, very high quality producer in Australia. It's a big part of our global reputation. So we take the process of ginning very seriously. We really want to have that cotton as clean as we possibly can, remove as much trash as we can, and have a beautifully well presented bale that's ready for export. And then beyond there, once the seed's actually processed, so that's separated and put into our seed shed, which has an aeration system in it as well to manage our humidity within seed. And what we do is we then sell that seed and supply it to what is an increasing number of seed customers in the Northern Territory, which is great.
So the modules that we see here today, where are they coming from roughly in the Territory?
Yeah, so at the moment we've got Tipperary seed cotton in the yard. We've got Black Bull, and we've also got Tawu Station, which surrounds the gin. So they're the three sort of main producers, I guess, in the NT this year. We've got some coming from the Department of Ag at Douglas.
Oh, rightio.
As well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And will you potentially get cotton out of Western Australia this year?
Look, there's a strong possibility, Matt. I guess the business is a believer in competition. So we would like to think that we try to attract some cotton from Kununurra, and that's all around our service proposition and our ability to sort of, look after growers, get them paid quickly and those sorts of things.
Yeah, okay. So we've spoken to growers and they've told us that it's been a massive wet season and perhaps yields aren't what they would love them to be. Has the gin this year got enough cotton?
Look, the ginning business is a volume business, right? So,
yep.
So more volume is always better. But look, it'd be fair to say that we always want more cotton. I mean, regardless of what amount you do get,
yep,
you'd certainly like to have more. But it's been a challenging season. I mean, it really has. I mean, 2 metres of rain in the wet season, 2 metres of in crop rainfall is quite an extraordinary amount of rain, and I guess rainfall is one thing, but what cotton really does not like is overcast conditions and humid conditions after that rainfall event, and it stresses the crop and it drops fruit, and you know that was the main impact on yield this year.
Yeah, there was farms getting bogged planting and getting bogged harvesting. That's how wet it is out there.
Yeah, no, look, it was quite extraordinary. It really was to see that amount of rainfall. And to be honest, I mean, it's, you know, the crop in terms of its recovery after it stopped raining, so in April was, you know, was pretty good given those very, very difficult conditions in March.
So roughly how many bales are you expecting to do in the 2026 season?
As many as we can, Matt.
Yeah, I get that.
Look, it's one of those things we probably don't like to talk about publicly too much.
Okay.
All I can say is more is better.
Yeah, understood, yeah. Understood.
Yep.
Am I allowed to ask then maybe what sort of bales would you... I know you want to do as much as possible, but surely there is a number that you feel like if we do that kind of number every year, then this gin will be going really well.
Yeah, look, it's a question of a number of factors, right? I'm not trying to just avoid the
okay.
the question, but obviously your gross margin, you know, that we're achieving here, say in the Northern Territory, is very, very different to the East, because we've got a brand new gin and it was very expensive to build, and it's all about, you know, your financing as well, and managing your costs as efficiently as you can. But look, I mean, if as a business, I mean, we would be hopeful that we get to sort of maximum capacity within the next sort of 5 years, and that's probably,
yep,
you know, about 120,000 bales based on the existing infrastructure. We've got an ability to double that capacity. We can put in another gin stand, another feeder bay, and another press. So yeah, I mean, the optimum number for us is probably that, you know, that 120,000 bales.
Yeah. So for you, what's the key to maybe getting more properties growing cotton?
Well, look, it's again, it's a number of factors. Price is a very important one, and we're seeing some fantastic prices at the moment. So, you know, 2027 crop in the eastern states, they're looking at over $650 a bale. So that really helps with gross margins. And I think the more important factor is we're still learning to grow the crop in the Northern Territory, and you know, things like soil health, acidity levels, pH levels, crop rotation, all of those factors are really going to be important in terms of actually building a sustainable industry.
Yeah.
So you can't just grow back-to-back cotton and not have some sort of an effect on your soils. So
yeah, well, it was Tipperary Station the other day that told us what they feel works for their soils is perhaps one in every 3 years.
Correct.
Cotton.
Yeah. And that's pretty much a similar rotation of what we have in the east as well. I guess in the east they have forced rotations through drought and those sorts of things. Mm. But rotation, you know, crops like sorghum and corn and, you know, going to become very, very important, you know, to a sustainable production system in the Northern Territory.
Which is the perfect segue into our next part of the conversation. If you're tuning in, this is the Country Hour, and I'm speaking to Tony Geitz from Northern Cotton. I'm at the Catherine Cotton Gin today, which is, yeah, firing up for season 2026. I think last time you and I spoke, you mentioned that the owners and everyone involved here were having conversations about starting up a grains complex. Where's that story at now?
Yeah, so we're strong believers that the grain industry will play a very important role as part of the scaling up of cotton production. So our grain complex has changed a little bit in terms of what we're doing here. So we're going to move more to a bunker model. We've purchased the necessary equipment. We have a drive over hopper that we've acquired, a grain line machine, which is a very good machine. We have our tarpaulins and we have our sampling equipment. So we're ready to handle grain on the site. And become a delivery point for growers. We were hoping to do a little bit of volume this year, but again, because of that very, you know, that extraordinary wet season, yields in in the primarily the sorghum that was produced was a bit lower than normal. So, but we're optimistic about the future. So, yeah. Yeah.
Next year, if all went to plan, what sort of grains would you expect to be receiving here?
Look, I think primarily grain and corn. There's potential for, soybeans, chickpeas as well. But we would expect that, the primary crop is probably going to be sorghum with a bit of corn and a few other bits and pieces thrown in there.
Yeah. And from here, where would it go?
So sorghum... It goes to China, so it goes into liquid that they, the Baijiu production. That very strong liquor that they have in China. So it's a very significant market. Yeah, it's a lucrative market. In terms of market access, it's no problem. You know, the site has AQUIS accreditation and has GACC accreditation, which is the importer registration that's required to access China.
And you can send it all out of Darwin port, can you?
Absolutely, all out of Darwin port. Everything transships through the Singapore port at this point. But over time, I think that we'll eventually get sort of dedicated vessels going to sort of China main ports.
And corn. Will all the cotton go out of Darwin port this year as well?
Yeah, so that, look, in the off season we've been working extremely hard on our supply chain costs and trying to get those costs as competitive as possible so that we're not seeing cotton go down to the east to be exported out of, Port of Brisbane.
Which is what has happened in previous years.
It has indeed.
Which to the average person they shake their head thinking, how can that be a more viable option?
Yeah, and look, it's just to be frank, it's the difference in the container freight rates, ocean freight rates, ex Darwin as compared to, ex Brisbane. So we have a very significant percentage of excess containers in the port of Brisbane. So shipping companies are effectively subsidising the cost of getting that getting that container back to the more lucrative freight rates, China, US, China, sort of Europe. So we have a similar situation in Darwin, and I feel over time that freight rates will become more competitive. But right at the moment, the driving factor was simply costs for those, for that cotton going to the east. This year, however, we've worked very hard with the ocean carriers. We've worked very hard with Horizon to get some very good rates on the train, and I'm very confident this year that we won't have very many bales going back to the east at all. Everything should go out of the port of Darwin, which is great to see.
That was always the plan.
Yes. Yeah. And look, I think, over time, the Northern Territory actually has the potential to be the cheapest supply chain in Australia. So if you look at the distance from, say, the Dalby region to the Port of Brisbane, I think we're about 238 kilometres. The Katherine site to Darwin is about 280 kilometres, but we've got a 30% freight efficiency because we can use triples. So... Yeah, over time, I'm quite confident that we're going to see very, very good grower returns in terms of their bale price as compared to those eastern areas.
We spoke to the boss of CPC just on Monday's Country Hour, and Troy Setter said that they'd look to do cotton in the Barkly if that bale price had a 7 at the start of it, so over $700 per bale. What would it mean to an operation like this if the Barkly started churning out some cotton?
Oh, look, it would be extremely exciting, transformative in terms of volumes and those sorts of things. And great to see yesterday, I think, again in the country, the announcement about the water licence being granted there to CPC. But, we're very excited about the potential of that region. Wanted to sort of wish CPC the best of luck, and we're very, very keen to be ginning their cotton production in the future.
Well, all the best with the week ahead, the first week of the 2026 season, and thanks for letting the country our swing by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for taking the time to come and visit us.